Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, we'll start with verse 12. Colossians 1, starting with verse 12. The Apostle Paul says to us, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that means suitable, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Continuing, verse 14, it says, in whom, talking about the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So we see the Son is the image of the invisible God, or the image of the Father. And it is in the Son that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But who does this context tell us has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Who is the one who has made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? In verse 12, it's the Father. That means that God the Father also is involved in the plan of redemption. The name of my sermon today is The Place of the Father in Redemption. And of course, the plan of redemption is something very broad. I will not speak about the whole plan of redemption. But let's talk about one aspect of the plan of redemption. That is justification. We'll turn to two places for this. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans 5. And we'll read verses 1 and 9. Romans 5, 1 and 9. Starting with verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in verse 1, Paul tells us that being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What else happens when we are justified? Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, talking about Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Meaning through Jesus. So when we're justified, we have peace with God and we are saved from wrath. We see that so far. Now let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We'll read verse 7. Titus 3, verse 7. It reads, in Titus 3, 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now let's put this all together. Here in Titus we just read that being justified by his grace, we shall be heirs of the hope of eternal life. And we read in the book of Romans that when we're justified, we have peace with God and that we're saved from wrath. Putting all those together, we know what it means to be justified. To be justified means to be made right with God. Let me put that all together. That's what it means to be justified, made right with God. So the question now is the Father involved in making us right with himself? Most of the time when we think about the plan of salvation or plan of redemption, we think of Jesus dying for us, becoming our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. But what about the Father? Well, first let's turn to the book of James. Right after Hebrews, you have James, chapter 1, verse 17, a verse that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. James 1:17. Here it reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So with God the Father, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means he's consistent, or he does not change. And the Bible says plainly in the Old Testament, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And we can apply that to ourselves. That's Malachi 3:6. We can apply that to the literal descendants of Jacob and the spiritual descendants of Jacob. So God does not change, not even God the Father. With that in mind, how does the Father feel about man? Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And we'll read verse 17. John 10, 17. It reads, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Think about this, friends. Jesus says his Father loves him. Why does his Father love him in that context? Because he lays his life down. And what was the purpose of laying his life down? To save mankind. So the Father loves the Son because he lays his life down to save mankind. So the Father definitely has concern for fallen man. Let's read chapter 16, same book, verse 27. John 16, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking again, speaking to the 11 disciples. John 16, 27, Jesus says, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." So Jesus says right there, the Father himself loveth you. The Father loves fallen man. I know we all know this verse by heart, John 3:16, but I want to take you to the chapter, because I'll read more than verse 16. I'll read verses 16 and 17. John 3, 16 and 17. Some of you might have both of them memorized. John 3, 16 and 17. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now we really need to think about those words at the beginning, I believe. For God so loved the world. First, what happened was God loved the world. And that's God the Father. First, the Father loved the world. He so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So the Father loved fallen man so much that he gave Jesus Christ his Son. Verse 17, "For God," the Father again, "sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the Father is directly responsible for sending Jesus into this world so that fallen man might be saved. So the Father is definitely involved in the plan of redemption or plan of salvation. And again, the Father loves fallen man. And those of us who belong to Jesus, how do we end up belonging to Jesus? Let's find out from John 17, same book, chapter 17. We'll start with verse 6. We'll read verses 6 and 12. John 17, verses 6 and 12. This is Jesus' prayer for the 11 disciples and all others who would believe on his name. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, that they have kept, and they have kept thy word. Notice what he says at the beginning. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. The Father gave Jesus' men to him. The way that we end up belonging to Jesus is when the Father gives us to Jesus. In the same chapter, let's read verse 12. Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, talking about Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Notice what he says it again. Those that thou gavest me. If you belong to Jesus, it's because the Father has given you to Jesus. And let's look at one more verse for this point. John 6:44. John 6:44. Jesus said twice in chapter 17 that his people are given to him of his Father. Here he says in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. There we find it again. The Father sent Jesus. Except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the only way that you can be given to Jesus is when the Father draws you to Jesus. He draws you to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So the Father is clearly involved in your salvation. He draws you to his Son, the Son that he gave to die for you. Why? Because he loved you. Still does. Jesus says it. But now let's find out just how much God the Father really is involved in our justification, your justification. Let's turn to 1 John. Let's start by turning to 1 John chapter 2. I will read these in the same order we very often read them in. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verses. We'll read verses 1 and 2 from chapter 2, and then we'll read chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It reads, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus died for everybody. So when the Bible says God so loved the world, it's talking about the entire world. Jesus died for everyone. And it says we have an advocate with the Father, or if you want to call it mediator or intercessor. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, meaning atonement for our sins. Backing up to verse 9 in chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So these are the things that Jesus is doing for us. Stay where you are in the New Testament. I'm going to read an Old Testament verse to you. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's Proverbs 28:13. So we see that with Jesus as our advocate, we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have mercy. But again, why do we have that advocate? Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 22. Romans 3:22. Keep in mind, friends, that we're about to read from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Very often when you read from the writings of the Apostle Paul, you have to follow the words very carefully to know what Paul, to understand what Paul is saying. So we're going to slow the train down, starting with verse 22 in Romans 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Notice we have two persons mentioned, God and Jesus Christ. So we know right now, God in this context is the Father. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. So even the Father's righteousness is unto all and upon all that believe, not only the righteousness of Christ. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's stop there for a moment. We commonly use this text to show that we've all sinned, and that is true. In the context, Paul is speaking specifically about the fact that both Jews and Gentiles have all sinned. That's what he is talking specifically about. So that includes us too, friends. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But upon all them that believe, the righteousness of God is upon us. Praise the Lord. Continuing, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here we find that word justified again. Whom God, now the word whom refers to Jesus. God is the Father. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, meaning an atonement, through faith in his blood. Let's stop right there in the middle of the verse for a moment. God set forth, God the Father set forth Jesus to be a propitiation for us, an atonement. So why do we have that advocate mentioned in 1 John? Because God the Father provided that advocate. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Let's start again in verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Now keep in mind, faith in his blood means Jesus' blood. So Jesus is the last person mentioned. Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now we're going back to the Father. And what does that say? The forbearance of God. That tells us something else about God the Father. He's forbearing. He's loving and forbearing. Instead of destroying fallen man, he gave his only begotten Son to be our advocate, the propitiation for our sins. Verse 26, to declare I say, now keep in mind, God the Father is the last person mentioned in verse 25. Paul goes on saying, to declare I say at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Paul says to declare it, I say at this time, his righteousness. Whose righteousness is that? God the Father's righteousness. Why has God the Father done all these things? Giving Jesus to die for us, to be our advocate or high priest, mediator, intercessor in heaven, to be the propitiation for our sins, to declare his righteousness, God the Father's righteousness. That he might be just, that the Father might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. When you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, God the Father is your justifier also. He's also making you right with himself. So God the Father is also involved in the plan of redemption. The justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 in closing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We previously read from the writings of the Apostle Paul that the Father has brought us out of darkness. He's restoring us to his image. He has translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Actually, let's start with verse 19. Paul says, to wit, that God was in Christ. There again, you have God and Christ, the Father and the Son. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There you have it. By giving Jesus for us, God the Father is reconciling us to himself. He's making us right with him. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, not holding them responsible for their trespasses or sins. And hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation or atonement. Then it says in verse 21, for he, the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God the Father in him, Jesus. And why has the Father done all this? That he also might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God the Father, friends, is also striving to working to justify you, to make you right with himself, that you may enter through the gates into the holy city. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With this understanding, friends, how many of us here want God the Father to be our justifier? I hope that every one of you wants God the Father to justify you. That's why he has given you his Son. Because he loves you and he wants you with him for eternity. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for giving us your dear Son, Jesus Christ, a ransom for many. And we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that the Holy Ghost will continue to be our comforter, teacher, and guide. We thank you so much for giving us your holy scriptures and for revealing to us in them the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption. We thank you so much for the angels protecting us, and we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. And we thank you again that Jesus died for us. In his precious and worthy name we pray. Amen.